Hello there and welcome to Stats Out of Context. What is this? Well, it's quite simple really. We take a single football, maybe some other sports as well from time to time, one of those metrics, and we do a little bit of a deep dive. When was it invented? When did it start being collected? What does it mean? And most importantly, why do people like it? And why do some people not like it? We've got plenty of stories to tell to give you a little bit of context about the stats that go into the sports that we love and know. And here to help assist me in this first episode is Duncan Alexander, co-chief editor of The Analyst. Duncan.
Hello, Graham. How are you?
Very well indeed. Very well indeed. And the reason that I use the word assist, it's not just the sort of playful punnery and wordplay that you might expect from this podcast, because we are going to keep it simple this week. And look at assists.
That's why you got me on. Keep it simple, but you know, I'll do my best. But yeah, assists. The kind of expected goals of the 1990s in a way, in that I remember when they first, you know, became more publicised, more out there, and people didn't like them. And well, some people didn't like them and they were like, what's this? You're killing the game. But actually, if you look at the history of football, assists have clearly and logically been a big part of football for the whole way through. I mean, goals have been in football since the very first day. And someone had to set up those goals. Maybe not as stylishly back then as they do now, but it's certainly something that's always been in the game, yeah.
I'm sure we're going to talk about Wimbledon's assists from the Premier League in the 90s anyway. That's the most creative of all assists. But as you say, I can remember sort of where it came from in my mind was the first sort of rumblings of it were around fantasy football from sort of memory, like, and it's kind of one of those, as you say, there was no one ever sits there and looks back at games in the 80s and goes, oh, it was a brilliant assist by this guy, brilliant assist by that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because in my second book, little plug there, I actually did a kind of A to Z of stuff, and what A was for assists. And I found a Kenny Dalglish quote after John Barnes' home debut for Liverpool back in 1987. Dalglish said, Barnes did what we expected him to do. He made a goal, scored one, and entertained. And, you know, he note the choice of words. He said made a goal. He didn't say assisted a goal. But he still recognised that Barnes, you know, one of Barnes' strengths was creating chances for his teammates. So, yeah, again, it's always been around. But I think you're right. The 90s is when it came in. I think the 94 World Cup, obviously, in America, I think that maybe advanced the data side a little bit. And then not long after, I guess, we got fantasy football, which, you know, began in the Telegraph. People posted in stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that was a world at some time that you ever... I can remember going on... It was one of the highlights of summer holidays was taking away the fantasy football paper with you. And it's like, right, write your team and get it snipped out, sending it in. And somewhere in some warehouse somewhere must have been someone just every day being inundated with slips of paper where you had to decipher, what's he actually written for the team player? Yes. What's he written for this player?
Is that Lee Sharp? I think it is, yeah.
It's Lee Sharp, mate. It's Lee Sharp.
I mean, obviously, great choice, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I suppose we then fast forward to the formation of Opta, which was 96, 97. That was the first, you know, rumblings of Opta. And that was, you know, very much... you know, again, pen and paper in terms of recording data, but assists were part of that as well. And, you know, we've basically been pushing out assist numbers ever since then, which is quite a long time. So that obviously meant that we had assists from the late 90s. But as we all know, football began and the Premier League definitely began in August 1992. So there was this gap. So a colleague of ours spent a long time going back to fill in those gaps. So we do have the only complete assist record of the Premier League. Now, that odyssey involved a lot of VHS tapes of club end-of-season videos back from the early 90s, which aren't as easy to find as you might think. And, you know, obviously, videos on VHSs aren't a cool way of watching stuff, but some people still have VHS players. So, yeah, that took a long time. Cursed the clubs who only showed their goals and not the opposition's. Disgrace. But painstakingly, we went back and filled in every single assist back to 92 under the same criteria. And I think that's also important, is that we've collected assists since 92, The way they're recorded is the same now. So obviously you have things in fantasy football where people get assists for winning penalties or deflected shots and things like that. But although we could provide that to fantasy games, we are sort of classic assist, if you like, is still the same. So you can compare a player from 92 to a player from 2022.
And that's kind of the thing, is having that standardisation of this. It's not, it is that same metric that's fine. It's funny you mentioned about sort of clubs and postseason highlight reels and such. Like, I can remember when I was working at a football league club for a little while, they were still, their scouting network sometimes just involved ringing up the opposition club and going, is there a chance you can send us your end of season DVDs that we can have a look at, I'll mention the player's name, David Connolly's goals, so that we can see if we're going to sign him or not. And it's just, and that's only in the mid-noughties. And as you say, so we've got this whole collection of players who recorded assists in the Premier League, but never had until 2000 odd had never actually known that they were these assist kings and had such a big moment in the history of the Premier League. For example, everybody knows that Brian Deane was the first ever goal scorer in the Premier League, and you sort of assume, oh, it must be the person who did the assist for that, but that goal didn't register as an assist for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, let's make the point here, I guess, that not all goals do have assists. You know, a penalty isn't assisted by anyone. No one knows that they're going to get a penalty, despite what some people might think. The Brian Deane goal came from a long throw. It would have been nice for the first goal to be a long throw, English heritage. But it was flicked off a United defender before Deane bundled it home. So we have to look to the second goal in Premier League history, scored by flying postman John Williams, winner of the Rumbelow Sprint Challenge. And score of the most offside goal I've ever seen for Wickham at Colchester. He was assisted by Stuart Robson, who younger listeners may know is the co-commentator on FIFA 22. So, yeah, he almost certainly didn't know at the time. Maybe he won't even know now. But Stuart, if you're listening, you got the first assist in Premier League history. So, you know, I'd be pleased with that.
It's a chance. It's a world exclusive. And, yeah. And the even worse thing is we're going to roll into FIFA 23 next year and we're just going to hear some terrible banter between the commentators pre-match. And it'll be, well, Stuart, you obviously knew you were the first ever assist player person in the Premier League as well. And also that fixture's got, it's a real fascinating battle of the British comedians as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Lee Hurst in the Coventry team and Chris Morris in the Borough team. So I'm not sure the actual comedians, but maybe some comedy defending. You never know. It was the early 90s.
Clashes in styles and clashes in comedy as well. So.
Very much so. Very much so.
Well, no brass eye gags here. We're just going to keep looking forward here because obviously there is this fascinating period where these guys at the time did not know the stats that they were recording. And one of the guys in particular at this point is Andy Cole. And immediately you say those words and you go, oh, that one of the great goal scorers in the Premier League of the early eras. But in 93-94, he did something rather unique.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Newcastle came into the Premier League in 93-94. They'd utterly dominated the, well, now the Championship, I guess. Back then it was Division One after they revamped the leagues. Let's call it the second tier. That's nice and clear. Everyone wondered how they would do and they got in the Premier League. They'd signed Andy Cole from Bristol City. He looked really good. Obviously started his career briefly, made one appearance for Arsenal before going to Bristol. I mean, Newcastle belied their promoted status. They hit the ground running and played really well all season. Came fourth, which is pretty good for a promoted team. Cole not only finished as a top scorer with 34, which remains a joint record in a Premier League season. He also got 13 assists that season, which is pretty good for a centre forward. And until Harry Kane did it last season, it's the only time in Premier League history that a player has been the outright top scorer and top assister in a single season. So, you know, it's interesting, I think, because if you actually look at the numbers around assists early Premier League season, Eric Cantona is very much the kind of dominant figure as the league starts, you know. And it goes back to a point, I think you get some older school managers, your Alex Ferguson's maybe, who might not totally embrace, you know, analytics, metrics, whatever. But in some ways, those great managers kind of don't need to, because I think they can see some of the stuff that data throws up kind of in their head a little bit. And I think Ferguson probably realised that putting Cantona in his team and then also having Andy Cole was a pretty good move, and so it proved.
Indeed. And it's quite funny, though, that early United team, remember them being this very entertaining side, goal-scoring side. And maybe as Ferguson evolved as a manager and the team evolved, that became less and less, because we just quickly want to look at the guy who's got the overall record, because funnily enough, it's someone in the mould of an Eric Cantona and Andy Cole, but his time came 10 years after the start of the Premier League, and that was Thierry Henry.
Yeah, Henry's interesting. I mean, I guess if we're looking at kind of eras of assists in Premier League, we've got the Cantona early doors, a bit of Matt Letizia, McManaman in there as well. And then we kind of moved to the David Beckham era. Beckham, one of only two players to assist 10 or more times 4 years in a row, along with Christian Eriksen, who's obviously back in the Premier League this week. You know, I think a bit of an underrated player if you actually look at his numbers and compare them to other players. But yeah, you're right, Henry was kind of imperious, wasn't he, in those seasons early in the 2000s. Obviously, Arsenal won the league in 01 and 02, and again in 03, 04. I think they went unbeaten. I'm not very
They keep
about
it quite quiet, don't they? Yeah. They don't say much about it.
Yeah, you know, gold, a trophy and all that. In fact, actually, on the Invincible season, the top assister in the Premier League that year was a certain Muzzy Izzet from Leicester City. Now, I'm not saying that devalues Arsenal's achievement. I'm genuinely not. So, but yeah, for Henry, although his club won the league in those two seasons, in some ways, the middle season, 02-03, although Arsenal did very much blow the title that year, let Manchester United back in, he was possibly at his peak then. He scored over 20 goals. And he assisted 20, first player to do that in the Premier League. And again, a bit like Andy Cole, I guess, doing it as a centre forward, although obviously he was playing quite a lot on the left. And yeah, I mean, it feels like 20 is a sort of glass ceiling in the Premier League for assists, because no one has yet beaten that. One player, as we'll get onto later, has matched that. But yeah, Henri kind of redefined what a footballer could do, I think, particularly in English football. You know, that ability to create. And he was the sort of player that seemed to get as much joy from creating for his teammates as he did from scoring, which, if you compare him to maybe his kind of rival at the time, Ruud van Nistelrooy at Manchester United, he seemed more concerned with scoring, I would say.
Wonder what the goal bonus was compared to the assist bonus. That's the real question there. And as we talked about that 20 assist glass ceiling, we sort of, from the time Henry did it, we had the record in mind. So we all now know 20 is that point. And at one point, we rolled around to the 2015-2016 season, and another player in an Arsenal jersey went off like the clappers in this season. And it looked like this 20 assist record is not just going to be beaten, it's going to be smashed. Mesut Ozil. And unfortunately for Mesut, he ended up one short, but quite astonishingly, only three assists over like the second half of the season. And
yeah, extraordinary. I mean, I think at the time everyone assumed he was going to get 25-30, which, you know, didn't seem outlandish. He started the season so well. But I think possibly slightly differently to goal scoring, I think over the course of a season, you do get, teams do have to kind of change their approach sometimes. You saw it with Leicester in 2015-16, where they started the season as quite attacking, albeit counter-attacking, but team scoring quite a lot of goals. But then they, you know, won the title famously by sort of grinding their way with a lot of 1-0 wins. And that's fine. That's kind of how you get through a league season. But it does change the way that that goals are created. And I think, you know, that's what happened possibly with Ozil. And you can compare him to Henri in 02-03, because, I mean, Henri's, you know, the vast majority of his assists that season came in the last few weeks of the season. So that 20 didn't ever really seem realistic, but suddenly he got there. And that, you know, Ozil was a brilliant player in that season in particular. But yeah, just couldn't quite make it.
There was just one thing for Mesut Ozil, though. I mean, this incredible season he had, and a great Arsenal midfielder, Cesc Fabregas before and around that as well, just really establishes. But despite all of Ozil's success here, he it's amazing his overall Premier League record. We take away the one season in isolation, it's great. But overall, Kevin Davis has got one more.
You do wonder whether Mesut Ozil leaving the Premier League with one assist fewer than Kevin Davis was part of the EU withdrawal agreement. I'm not sure, but you know, Kevin Davis, again, a bit like a Giggs, I think, is a longevity thing. You know, Davis's assists often would have been flick-ons or little touches on the edge of the box. He was also the leading fouler in the Premier League for sort of 9 out of 10 seasons. So, you know, you knew what you got with him. But yeah, he's up there. I mean, other people that are up there that maybe might surprise some, you've got, you know, Ashley Young, 71, only kind of 9 fewer than David Beckham. Gareth Barry on 64, which is, you know, testament to his versatility. Stuart Downing is up there on 59, which is interesting because Downing, when he signed for Liverpool, obviously very early in the kind of metrics era, his numbers had been good before they signed him. But he ended that first season at Liverpool with the most shots without scoring, including a lot of woodwork hits, including one on his debut, in fact, and the most chances created without an assist. So as unlucky seasons go, that's probably up there. And I guess this does probably lead us to, you know, the point that you... The criticism of the assist as a metric sometimes is that, you know, you only get an assist if your teammate scores a goal. And that can be variable amongst football teams, as we all know. So, yeah, I mean, you look at someone like Kevin De Bruyne now or Cesc Fabregas, and they were able to supply reliable finishers. You know, Stuart Downing often wasn't. And so him being on 59 assists in his career is pretty solid.
It's not bad going. And we talk about Kevin Davis there being that all-time fouler. He wasn't able to create... I mean, there'll be the occasional ice hockey listener here going, what about those Gordie Howe players? The players that got a goal, got an assist, and then in an ice hockey term, it would be a fight, but we have to sort of... Unless you're Lee Bowyer or such like, you're not going to get that situation here. I know Graham Lasseau and David Batty as well. We can't not forget them. So we've got to talk about those guys who got a goal and assist and then went, you know what, lads, I'm done for the day. I'm heading for the early shower. Back in the early 90s, probably where hot water was a little bit more scarce in dressing rooms than probably it is these days, a little bit more understandable. But there is a select band who have been able to make that incredible feat of goal, assist and red card.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good little combo. You wonder whether the goal and assist bonus will cancel out the fine for the red card. It'd be neat if that was the case. And obviously it came to light this season because Andy Robertson did it for Liverpool away at Spurs, and he was the seventh player actually in Premier League history to do that. I'll go through the other six. I'll rate them in terms of how surprised I am that they did this. Mark Viduka, not that surprised. Sean Bartlett, just glad to remember about Sean Bartlett, really. Bobby Zamora, well, a little bit surprised. Not as surprised as anyone when they find out that he scored a penalty with both his left and his right feet in his Premier League career, which is decent. Marc-Antoine Fortuné for West Brom, Southampton. I mean, I'm sure everyone's stunned to learn that.
Everyone really remembers that Premier League career.
Definitely remembers that one. Charlie Austin. Not that surprised.
Very much the English Mark Viduka on the one.
Yeah. And Alexander Mitrovic. Again, not that surprised. So Andy Robertson. Yeah, also not massively surprised. I mean, goal possibly the most unusual bit there. But I mean, I think we've identified a certain type of player that can achieve this.
And who knows, maybe we'll get to see Mitrovic doing it again next season. That's always a potential option for us here. And just while we sort of roll back into like the list of the all-time sort of season assists, we mentioned earlier on there was one guy who really much is the kind of current assist king star at the moment in terms of running away for his side, and that's Kevin De Bruyne. And right now he stands at 80 assists overall in the Premier League. He's not near the top of the overall chart. There's a good chance he's going to break through 100 and become the fifth player to make 100 assists in the Premier League. James Milner's got a chance. He's on 86 assists at the moment, but those 14 assists are going to have to come pretty quick.
Well, you say that. I mean, he was the top assist during the Champions League a couple of seasons ago. But yeah, you're right. It's not going to happen.
Doesn't feel like it's going to happen.
No, I mean, it's quite neat at the moment. You've got Beckham and De Bruyne on 80, which is quite nice. I mean, you'd probably take both of them in your team. Although they try and play in the same position. As you say, if De Bruyne does make it, he'll be the fifth player to do it. The top four, as it stands, or top five. Let's do top five. Ryan Giggs, you know, longevity and consistency, 162. Cesc Fabregas on 111, which is pretty amazing given that he went to Barcelona, came back to the Premier League and then left again. So, solid. Wayne Rooney with 103, only player to have triple figures for cards, assists and goals. Again, not a surprise. And then Frank Lampard with 102, which when you combine that with his goal scoring, you know, really does underline what a great player he was in the Premier League. And then, not with 100 or more, but fifth is Dennis Bergkamp with 94. I don't think people will be surprised about that, but he actually created fewer goals for Henry than Ashley Young did for John Carew, which they might be surprised about.
It's always one of those fascinating things when you look at the history of Dennis Bergkamp, and you do just think of the outstanding goals, but actually he was a big part of bringing that success there for Arsenal. And if you want to hear more about that, we actually did a bit of a deep dive into the Most Premier League Assists podcast earlier on this year. You can find it on all your usual podcast applications or here on the reads from the analyst feed as well. It's definitely worth diving into because we talk about De Bruyne in there as well. So he actually has been the only player to hit the 20 mark alongside Thierry Henry. And even before that, in the 2016-17 season, 18 assists, 2017-18, 16 assists. And that's kind of where it fascinates me for me, because we talk about Ryan Giggs being this all-time assist leader in the Premier League, but you look through the list and he never went above 13 in a season in the Premier League, which you think of the amount that play went through him for United at times. He didn't actually provide the direct assist. That's not to say he wasn't a key part of what they were doing elsewhere, and maybe there was a knockdown in the box or someone else to finish, but you would expect Giggs to be in these... I mean, Leroy Sané's up here with 15 assists and Ryan Giggs is not near that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with Giggs. If you look back, say, at 2010-11, Nani got 14 assists, the most in the Premier League that season. Now, not many Manchester United fans would say that Nani was a more influential player than Ryan Giggs, but, you know, Giggs never reached that individual total. But, you know, the history of the Premier League is a lot of players maybe having one standout season. You know, you look, 99-2000, Nobby Solano had the most assists. We've mentioned Muzzy Izzet in 03-04. Drogba in 05-06 was the leader. You know, Juan Mata did it one year. So you do get these variations. I mean, Harry Kane, I guess, last season was unusual. He obviously assisted four of his 14 in that one game at Southampton, all for Sung Heung-min. So, again, it's that sort of performance as well, where a player will get three or four assists, which really can kind of skew it in your favour.
And one guy who did that earlier this season was obviously Paul Pogba, who went off, again, with incredible speed at the start of this campaign. And before the clocks had even gone back, he had beaten or equaled Paul Scholes' best ever record in a Premier League season, which is, you think about the effect Paul Scholes had on the United teams over the years, and he only managed a maximum of 7 assists in a Premier League season. And there's Pogba equaling it before October's even gone out the door.
And, you know, Paul Scholes sometimes criticises Paul Pogba, but maybe it's for his speed of accumulating assists. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean... Pogba started the season tremendously. The Scholes thing, it's one of those, isn't it? It's, you know, he was clearly a brilliant, you know, seminal player in the Premier League. You know, a scorer of great goals rather than a great goal scorer, I suppose. And probably the same with assists. Some of his assists will be some of the best assists you'll see. But, you know, often and increasingly as his career went on, he was a deeper lying player. So, you know, the numbers are not going to be as high. But yeah, you're right. It is, you know, he, as someone who's, whether it's true or not, but touted by Zinedine Zidane's, you know, Scholes of Manchester as this kind of, you know, player. It wasn't really reflected in his assists.
I also wonder if it's something about how United played in certain areas of the Premier League. Like you look at someone like Juan Sebastian Veron, like elsewhere in the world of football, just this great playmaker, very much that attacking, like when you were signing him on Football Manager, Championship Manager, you knew he was going to be, he was your linchpin in your side that was going to tear things apart. When it came to playing in the Premier League, though, maybe it was the pace of play, maybe it was the adaption, whatever. Maybe he didn't fit United systems directly. But Mark Venus got 8 more Premier League assists than Veron did. Mark Venus.
Out of this world. Yeah, I mean, Dean Kiley, the Charlton goalkeeper, got as many assists as Veron in that first Veron season. And, you know, it's not like it wasn't flagged up at the time. You know, I think journalists were quite repeatedly said to Ferguson, should we be expecting more? And Ferguson was famously, as often, pretty short in his response to them. But it didn't mean Veron was a bad player. But, yeah, I mean, often you look at these players and... You know, it's the system, isn't it? If it fits one season, it really, really works. It's very rare to get a sort of player who can dominate. That's why I think you go Cantona, Beckham, Fabregas, De Bruyne, and then I guess now we're on to the sort of the Liverpool fullbacks, particularly Trent Alexander-Arnold era. So it's where you can do it, you know, for a number of seasons in a row that I think you really have proven yourself as a sort of elite creator.
Yeah, and it's worth talking about the two Liverpool fullbacks, obviously Trent and Robertson. They're just two very, very unique players right now who are fitting a system perfectly. And sometimes over the years in the Premier League, the use of the wing-back and the use of the fullback has been sort of pushed to the sidelines a little bit. But Jurgen Klopp really is making these two a big part of what they're doing going forward. I mean, 5 of the 8 times a defender has gone into double figures for assists in the Premier League have been Trent and Robinson over the, sorry, Robertson over the last 3.5 years. Like, it's a unique period we're in, but I think it's just, again, showing that maybe there's a change in how people are reading the game now. Now there's more, obviously more metrics, and there's more understanding of the game, that this is something that is unlocking a solution that sees Liverpool have the success they're doing.
Yeah, and I think it works. You know, when one of those players is not in good form, I think you can say Alexander-Arnold wasn't last season, and Robertson wasn't possibly for much of the first half of this season, and it affects both of them, because I think if they're both on good form, then opposition players can't really, you can't shut down both at the same time, really. And we see the result of that. So, you know, in the recent Liverpool win at Crystal Palace, Robertson had 2 assists and, you know, was rampant. So, I mean, they've provided 2% of all the assists by defenders in Premier League history just in the last 4.5 seasons. And that's 2 players in one team, which is pretty extraordinary. There's been 4,222 assists in the Premier League from defenders, which is good because it's also 4-2-2-2, a formation designed to get the best out of defenders creatively. So that won't last, but maybe the formation won't either. So, yeah.
And for all those assists defenders have done, sometimes it can just be a single assist that makes all the difference. If you're going to record one assist in your Premier League career, make sure it's a good one. And why is it always this guy who does this sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, this one has been out there for, I'm sure most people have heard it, but Mario Balotelli's only Premier League assist was for Sergio Aguero in a little known game against QPR back in 2012. So actually, I did some analysis on this a few years ago, and it's actually a really good assist because he's kind of falling over and he could have just sort of shot, but he kind of, you know, sees Aguero, sweeps it out, and it, you know, it is a very good assist. It's the perfect example of, you know, sometimes assists will get criticised for, oh, he's just passed it into an area or he's just tapped it. This very much is here's a player. And then obviously Aguero did the rest. But one assist, pretty good. And we should also point out that goalkeepers can assist as well. Paul Robinson leads the Premier League for assists for goalkeepers. He's also the only keeper to have both a goal, an assist, and he's also won a penalty after going up front for a bit. So, I mean, you know, that's an absolute dream combo for keepers at least.
And we talk about that Balotelli example there. Obviously, as the game has developed and now we have a more deeper understanding of the assist as a straight up, this is easy to understand metric. The game's evolved itself. We're now talking about expected assists and such like. And that, I think, it gives a much more wider understanding to an assist. As we say here, an assist is a very straight thing that is the same in 1992 as it is here in 2022. But expected assist just sometimes gives that little bit something else, that little bit deeper understanding of a moment almost.
Yeah, I mean, expected assists, you know, if you look at it objectively, is a much better metric, really, because it does tell you about how a player's playing. It tells you about whether they're in a team that's underperforming. You know, if a player's got a high XA and not many assists, then, you know, obviously his teammates aren't making the most of those chances. And I think it's obviously got huge applications within professional sport, but also for things like fantasy games. You know, it's a great way of spotting players who are, you know, in good form, in bad form, maybe about to come into good form. So it's got that kind of predictive element, I think, to it, which is important. But, you know, the old school assists, football revolves around narrative and people like round raw numbers. And you know, the fact that the record in the Premier League is 20 and it's this nice round number that no one's ever going to beat. Paul Pogba tried this season and then got injured, you know, by out of fate because no one can challenge the 20. And maybe it'll last forever. Maybe it's the one thing that our sport can, you know, revolve around forevermore. But, you know, everyone will always love a perfectly weighted through ball or a brilliant cross or, you know, a header, you know, that Ronaldo chest assist or chest chance created the other week at Brentford. You know, those sort of things are almost as good aesthetically and enjoyably as goals. So, yeah, I think the assist took a long time maybe to be accepted in its current form or its current name. But go back to 1890 and someone plays a good ball over a muddy pitch or over a keeper that can come out to the halfway line, people are still going to applaud it.
So, Duncan, thank you for joining me. Thank you for assisting me through our journey through Assist. I make the same pun twice on the show. You know, can't call me anything but original, but really do appreciate everybody for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, then there are plenty more that you can listen to here on The Reads from The Analyst. We're currently doing a little bit of a wrap-up of many Premier League ones, and I mentioned earlier on about the most Premier League assists. Do listen in. You can find that on all the usual podcast applications like Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, many others as well. Or, of course, head over to the home of data-driven storytelling. That is theanalyst.com. And if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review the show. And, of course, follow us on our Twitter account as well. We are at OptaAnalyst. For now, though, Duncan, thank you very much. Until next time.
Yeah.
Same time, same place, as someone once famously used to say. Maybe not the same time, maybe not the same place, but definitely a different metric. I've been Graham Bell, and until next time, take care of yourself and goodbye.